trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Please join with me in singing number 679. 679, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Like to turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We will read from the first 9 verses of chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their father to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Praise the Lord for his word. Let's have a word of prayer. Gathered together in your house as your children, as the family of God, we praise you for your word and for the truth it contains and the guide that it is to our lives day by day. And pray that you would guide us this morning through your Holy Spirit, that what is said and done would bring honor and glory to your name. And we'd be careful to praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And children can be dismissed to Children Church.
Turn with me to song number 148 in Isaiah 48:17. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." We're going to sing "God Leads Us Along," number 148.
Fall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Thank you for singing today.
Are you thankful for God's leading you along?
Amen.
I sure am. And it made me think of a verse that I'd like to share with you, if I can find it, which is dangerous. When I veer from my notes, it can be dangerous. Psalm 40, beginning in verse 1, says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. That's when I acknowledged God's leading in my life. That's where it began for me, when he pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. And I praise the Lord for his leading from then on, as I have sought to follow him. Now, you well know that there are times when we turn the wrong way. We don't follow him. And I'm glad that he is, for his grace and his mercy, that brings us back to the path and how he has continued to lead us. Well, I'd like to talk this morning about God's leading in another man's life, and we've already read from Joshua chapter 1, and that's where we are going to spend most of our time, I think, this morning. As God led in Joshua's life, Joshua... We can go back to Exodus chapter 17, where Joshua was there leading the army as Moses lifted up his hands in prayer, and as he had help holding his hands up as they conquered and were successful, as long as Moses' hands were lifted up in prayer. We can go to Exodus chapter 24, where Joshua was on the Mount of God with Moses. And then in Exodus chapter 32, where Joshua heard the, quote, celebration from below the mount, and then to find out just that it was not actually a celebration, but people worshiping the calf that they should not have been. We could go to Numbers chapter 13, and we see Joshua, as he was listed as one of the spies, he and Caleb being the only ones that urged Israel to go forward. And then we can see in Deuteronomy, where Moses speaks several times of Joshua being the one who was to be his successor, if you will, to follow and then to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And so we pick it up in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, where we see God challenging challenging Joshua to arise and go forward. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. We see the promise of God here, that being the land that he had promised to them. He says, as I said, and God says that. And then in verse 6, we also see at the end of the verse, it says, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them, It was a promise that God had made that they would have this land to live in. And you know, as I think about it, there are several promises in God's Word to us as His children. Promises salvation to all who believe. And I'm going to take time to turn to the verses because that is the best way for me to get them correct. So John chapter 1 and verse 12. It'll take me a minute, but I'll get there. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." He promises salvation to all who believe. He also promises eternity to all who believe. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." A promise of everlasting life. We also see in verse 36 in that same chapter, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." So promises that God gives to us. He also promises persecutions and temptations in our lives. We could go to 2 Timothy or to James, either one, and talks about the temptations and the persecutions that we will endure as His children. And yet, He also promises a way of escape from those temptations, and that's through His Word. So those things that we can trust that He says He will do according will come to pass according to His will and according to His time. So as we look at Joshua and God telling him to arise and go over, it's because of the promise in the past that this is taking place, that he is able to know that God will carry this out, and he's challenging him to arise and go. You know, sometimes as Valerie and I and our family have served the Lord, there's some times that we see what we view as a delay. You know, things aren't happening the way we might think that they would. And you know, instead of viewing delays as setbacks, we've chosen to look at them as God working on our behalf, and He will bring it about in His will and in His time. And it may not be the way we think He's going to, but He will. And it's because He promises to take care of His children. And so as He challenges Joshua to move forward, to arise and go, he's not going by himself. And that's the next thing is the presence of God. Now we see that in verse 5. It says, There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua knew from his experiences already. He had been proven in leadership positions through many of the things I spoke of earlier, leading armies. He knew that he wasn't by himself, but God reminded him, "I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." There is no question that Joshua was specially chosen of God for this position, for this time. And we can't necessarily apply everything that was said to Joshua to ourselves, but God does give us other places where He promises, gives us the same promise of being with us. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, it says, "Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee or forsake thee." He will not leave thee or forsake thee. And that was Moses talking to Israel. Well, for us, it's in Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6, where the Lord is talking to believers and says, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. May well be pulling that, going back to Joshua and Joshua chapter 1, but now applying it to us as his children, that wherever he leads each one of us, we are not going by ourselves. He's going to be with us each step of the way. And you know, that has been a major sense of not just relief, not just contentment, but comfort along the way, that God has promised to be with us each step of the way. I remember one instance in particular. We were to be going to a project in the Bronx, New York. I'm a country boy. I'd just soon be living out in the country. And the thought of taking our trailer into the Bronx and parking it next to a church to rebuild a church was not nerve-wracking, but it did cause some caution. But there was, in particular, a person who says, you should not go. You should not go there. It's not safe for you, and speaking especially of our three kids that would be with us. And I said, no. God's called me to go there as part of this ministry. And that's where we're going, because I know I'm safer where he's called me to go than if I go out on my own. Because he's promised to be with me, and he's promised that to each and every one of us. It was not a terrible place. Our testimony following that, it was not a terrible place. We had to live differently than we did out in the country, but praise the Lord that we have the promises of God, or the promise of the presence of God. We also have the peace and prosperity of God's word. We see that in verse 7, where he says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So he's telling him, don't neglect the law. Don't turn from it. Stay on the straight and narrow. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. In verse 8, he's told to meditate therein day and night, to meditate on the word of God. And we see that in Psalm 1, which reads, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We need to be in God's word. And as I shared early in Sunday school, my takeaway from the men's retreat was my need to put more time into memorizing God's word. Because we need to hide it in our heart. We need to have that. We need to delight in his word. As we learned in Sunday school, we are involved in a conflict. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that. It's not with flesh and blood. It's with, and I didn't turn to the passage. Can you finish? Principalities and powers. So we're in a battle day by day, and it's only through God's word that we can have victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord for that. We're in a battle every day. Thankfully, God can give us peace in the midst of the storm. And that can come from God's word. So why was God doing all these things for Joshua? If I ask you to turn over to chapter 3. And I believe that the purpose of God in this was to show Israel that Joshua was their new leader. That Joshua was the one who was going to take up the leadership following the passing of Moses. And so he was establishing Joshua as their new leader. Not equal to this, but much the same as the miracles that Christ performed were to authenticate who he was. I believe some of this for Joshua was that God was showing the people that he was the one who was going to be their leader, that he was going to be with Joshua just as he had been with Moses. So beginning in verse 9 of chapter 3, it says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." How encouraging is that? Come and listen to the word of God. I trust that's part of the reason you come on Sunday morning, Amen. Is to hear the word of God. And I could say it may be all of the reason why you come, and that would be fine. And praise the Lord for that. "And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over the Jordan." Notice, as I alluded to, that the people were coming to hear the word of the Lord, their God. You see the preparation of the 12 in verse 12, where it says to take one man out of every tribe. So the preparations that were taking place for service, there was a job for them to do. And you know, God is preparing his people today for service, if we listen and follow. And I know I need to listen and follow day by day to his word and follow what he wants. And then in verses 14 and 15, we see that they stepped out. They stepped into the river at a time when it was overflowing its banks. Could we say that they had to have a deeper trust in God as they looked at those flowing waters? In fact, I wonder, do you think the Israelites really expected the waters to part? I'm not looking for an answer. It's just something to ponder. As they walked up to that water and as the priest took the first step, were they expecting it to part? Because there were only two people there that day that were there when the Red Sea parted, that had experienced that. The rest had not. One commentator put it this way concerning the time of year that they were to cross. It says, "So that this harvest in those hot countries fell very early in the spring, when rivers used to swell most, partly because of the rains which have fallen all winter, partly because of the snow which melts and comes into the rivers. At this time, God chose that the miracle might be more glorious, more amazing, and actually more terrible to the Canaanites as they heard what was taking place. And you know, as I think about those priests that had to step into the water, I think of myself when I'm sitting there listening to God's word being preached. Is it motivating me to take a step and to allow God to lead me the rest of the way? Or am I sitting and waiting for His direction? There's a fine line there. And I suggest that as the priests had to take the first step, that there are times when we have to take the first step and God will lead us the rest of the way. And then in verses 16 and 17, we see the miracle that the water stopped. And that the I'll go back to verse 16. It says that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon an heap very far from the city Adam. God made the way for them to cross the Jordan. You know, God will do His part. We can rest in that. He's faithful. He will do His part. And partly because He's done it before. We can look back and see what He's done before to know that He's going to continue to do it in the future because He does not change. He is not able to change. He is with us each step of the way, and He will meet our needs and provide for us and give us direction. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us until we were gone over." He had done it before, and He did it again. And you know, we've had the privilege, and I say we, I'm talking about my family, to see how God has provided and met needs and provided the way over and over and over again with churches that we have been able to work with. And you know what? We know He's going to do it again here. As we look forward to getting started a little bit further north from here, we know that He will provide as we move forward and go forth with what He has called us to do. Because we've experienced it before, and we know He will do it again. So then we see a placement of a memorial in Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Then Joshua called the twelve men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man." We just read about that in chapter 3. "And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What means ye by these stones? What mean ye by these stones?" See, God gives specific instructions. He was told to choose 12 men. And He told each man to pick up a stone and from before the ark and where the ark stood still, etc. He gave specific instructions. You know, we need to do the same thing. We need to follow those simple instructions that God gives us from His word. One that comes to my mind is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, which says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." We need to follow God's instructions from His words. And they did as Joshua commanded. In verse 8, we read, and it says, "And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan. And as the Lord spoke unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. They followed in obedience. By now they knew God was with Joshua, and that they needed to follow his instructions, which were from the Lord, and he knew that. And we see the setting up of the memorials in verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And then in verses 19 and 20, we see, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? The purpose for those memorials. One commentator put it this way, one in the river where the ark stood still, and one in Gilgal where they lodged. Other 12 stones were set up in the midst of the Jordan, piled up so high in a heap or a pillar, is that the top of it might be seen above the water when the river was low, or seen in the water when it was clear, or at least the noise or commotion of the water passing over it would be observable, and the bargemen would avoid it as they do a rock. Some way or another, it is likely it was discernible, so as to notify the very place where the ark stood, and to serve for a duplicate to the other monument, which was to be set up on dry land in Gilgal, for the confirming of its testimony and the preserving of its tradition. You know, we have many memorials around our country set up for remembrance of different things, not necessarily spiritual things, but I spoke of one of my memorials, and that's the day of my salvation. And that is definitely a spiritual memorial. We observe some of those memorials. So my salvation, our baptism, the Lord's Supper. For us, every building that we built as builders was a memorial to us of God's hand at work. And not just the building, but what went on in the building. Souls that were saved, and people that grew, and people that went out to serve the Lord, and just many things all along the way. And as you look back in your life, do you have memorials? And I'm not saying these things to say, wow, look what we did. I'm saying, look what God did. And the memorials that he set up that we can remember what he did. So at times when we are tempted and maybe discouraged, we can look back and see, look at what God did. And pull our eyes off ourselves and on to him and what he did. See, he said, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. I think God knows how quickly we forget sometimes what he has done. And he wanted these here for a memorial. He knew a memorial would cause the people to remember. And thus explain to the children what he had done for them there. The memorial in the river would be proof that they were in the middle of the river. It would be evidence for those who might question this account. It was God's design that each tribe contribute to the memorial, much like his desire today is that each of us as the body of Christ contribute to the work of the ministry. And so we all have a job to do. We have things to do as part of the family of God. It's also interesting that he chose natural stones from the river. You know, not stone that had been hewn by man's hands, but a natural stone that had been untouched. I found that interesting. The gospel is a memorial for us to remember, to share with the world the things that God has done for us, what he's done in our lives. A commentator put it this way. He says, the remembrance of this wonderful work should effectually restrain them from the worship of other gods, little g, and constrain them to abide and abound in the service of their own God, capital G. To look back and see what he's done to keep us on the track. A memorial of what God has done should cause us to remember his goodness and revive in us a thankfulness and his mercy toward us. It was also what was accomplished through this is actually in chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Joshua was established as their leader. And that's what God said he was going to do. God did what he said he was going to do in chapter 3 and verse 7. Joshua trusted him and followed him, and God was faithful. God is always faithful. That is something that we can plant our feet on. God is always faithful. He will meet our needs. As I look at Joshua trusting and following God, I have to ask myself a question. Am I? Am I doing what Joshua did? That's a challenge to me. And if you choose to take that challenge, that's a challenge for you. Three questions for us to ponder. Are we trusting in the promises of God as Joshua did? Are we trusting in his promises? Are we taking the first step and allowing God to lead the way? Am I taking the first step and allowing God to lead the way? Am I faithfully telling others about the memorials God has allowed us to set up or be part of? Are we telling people about what God's doing in and through our lives? That's a challenge for us. And to consider what God has done for us. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you used Joshua, how you led in his life in the early days as you brought him into leadership and used him, and how he was faithful in following you. And then, Lord, how you established him as the leader. We thank you for that and for this account that we can look at and understand and apply to our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and that you will lead us each step of the way as we seek to follow you. I pray for each one of us as we leave here today that we would see you leading us along the path that you would have us to walk, that we would find you faithful as you are and see what you're doing in our midst. And we'd be careful to praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your songbook to number 385.
Now why did
says we will do. Where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
You're just, yeah.